Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
Okay, welcome in. Three Dudes with a View. It's Monday morning, folks. It's a rainy Monday. Was rain in the forecast for today, Clayton?
It was, but
it looks like it's starting to clear out. It's supposed to clear out this morning. And then we have the big eclipse today.
About, what, 1:30 this afternoon?
I think so. Sometime around.
90% here. Go a little farther north, you can get to 100%.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little west as well, so...
You know, the solar eclipse thing seems to really draw out the Looney Tunes somehow. You know, the sort of like the people who thought they were going to leave their container and go up, sail forevermore with Halley's Comet, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole lot of different types of conspiracies out there regarding the eclipse, so...
Oh, well, do. All right, I'm dude number three. I'm Del Kennedy. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. How are you?
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
All right, let's see. We've also got with us regular special Monday guest, my old colleague in the United States Attorney. I shouldn't phrase it that way. My former colleague in the United States Attorney's Office. For 25 years, we worked next to each other. Worked on a lot of very difficult cases together and just had a lot of fun, too. Mike Roden, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Eclipse Day. And I'm a little tired of hearing about the eclipse. Don't beat me up for that. I'm excited for it. My hometown in Arkansas has 100% totality, and they're in the path, and I think they're having a big party. And if I didn't have so much going on, I'd probably have gone there this weekend and taken part of it. But... you know, it's been the number one story, I think, on the news, everybody getting ready for the eclipse. I'm just a little tired of it.
Yeah.
There's a meme going around with Samuel L. Jackson's character from Pulp Fiction, and he's saying, "Say eclipse one more time." So if you saw Pulp Fiction, you know what that's about.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York, I've gone right by you, and you're the main man. Good morning, Mr. York.
No, you're backtracking. You did cover me, Dale.
All right, I'm already asleep or
senior not. Senior moment.
Yeah. Regular special guest dude, native son, favorite son of Columbia, 1977 graduate of Columbia Central High School, Ron Hart. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Ron,
and Courtney's the 470 number over there, I think. Courtney Kramer's running against Bonnie Willis for the DA position in Atlanta, Fulton County.
Courtney Kramer, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys just fine. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. All right. Now, tell
great.
Us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Ron, you want to sort of take the lead on this? Ron is the one who invited Courtney. She is running against Fannie Willis for Fulton County District Attorney. She's running as a Republican.
Yeah, she Emory Law School and has been involved in practicing law in Atlanta for a while. Kind of got tired of what she saw, I think, with Fannie Willis and what we've seen on TV with the DA's office in Fulton County. And she's running as Republican, kind of a long shot, but could win. And it happens. I think she'll tell you. But I think is Fulton County about 75% Democrat, Courtney?
Yeah, it is. It's about 70-30. And so it's an uphill battle to begin with. We haven't had a Republican qualify for DA in over two decades here. So it'll be a very interesting race at the outset. But, you know, I think that you are starting to see, like what Ron said, a lot of, you know, people. I mean, I was fed up with what I saw with this, you know, theatrics with the Trump case, but you're starting to see a lot of Democrats that are kind of swinging more center and more right based on what they're seeing occur in our DA's office, which is just a complete weaponization of the legal system. So, you know, I don't want to talk too much, Ron, so I'll let you have it. But yeah, it's a very primarily Democrat.
You're good. Sorry. Yeah, it's not so much maybe It's the Trump case, of course, but it's also just the lack of prosecution of crime in Atlanta. I think people feel like they can get away with it. You look at Lenox Mall, people stealing the Apple store with no problem, no repercussions. People are being robbed and broken into all over town. And it's just a lawlessness, not so much of the Trump case, but that's just a sideshow, but it's just the lack of discipline and law being enforced in Fulton County. And the citizens may grow tired of it, and they may just reach on the other side and vote for Republican for once for this position.
Yeah, and you know, I'll add to that, you guys. You know, the DA's office here keeps saying that the crime's going down, the numbers are decreasing. Well, you know, crime numbers go down when you don't prosecute criminals, of course. And so that's kind of what we're seeing here, is that we see, you know, an overcrowding in our jail, but you know, nothing's really coming out of there. You have inmates dying in our jail because our DA doesn't want to prosecute, you know, anyone except a couple of YSL gang members and a former president, instead of focusing on, you know, real criminals that are committing actual crimes that affect our streets. And Fulton County is, you know, the largest county in Georgia, and it's arguably one of the most unsafe counties in Georgia, which should never be the case. It's our, you know, our capital is located here. Our Supreme Court's located here. This district that I'm running in is the Atlanta Judicial Circuit, and it's larger than any congressional district in the country. So it's very big. And what we're seeing is that we are seeing a current DA who is misusing funds and not doing her job and not taking her oath of office seriously.
Yeah, for those of you who live south of Mount Pleasant, Fannie Willis, the Courtney's Democratic opponent and the incumbent, is the one in Fulton County, Georgia, who has indicted Trump and several of his associates on I don't know what. For the life of me, I can't even.
Trying to overturn the election.
Well, I guess that's what they're, you know, because he disagrees with the election results in Georgia.
Well, he did a little bit more than that. He did a little bit more than that, Doug. Now, come on. There were active efforts to overturn the vote in Georgia. Now, we can debate that, but it was more than just disagreeing with the results.
Petition for redress of grievances. In any event, there's that. She's also the one who's been in this circus spectacle where she's obviously a very mad individual, entitled individual. She hired her boyfriend, her married boyfriend, to the tune of about $750,000, and then they used the money to go on all these lavish vacations. And Courtney, I saw on your Twitter feed something that was really rich. It was Fannie Willis running in.
Fannie Willis Delk. Fannie.
I pronounce it Fannie. I don't know. Fannie.
Not Fannie is your rear end. Fannie is her name.
Well, whatever.
Miss Willis. Let's call her Miss Willis. How's that?
Miss Willis. She's a disgrace to American democracy. In any event, she was speaking, running against the incumbent the last time around when she apparently won. She promises that she will not sleep with any people in her office and live lavishly on the public's money.
That was a campaign pledge?
That would be
an interesting campaign pledge.
Well, it's amazing
how many office marriages, relationships, and all of that stuff have you ever been aware of, Del, in your work life?
I don't know.
I know of two.
And
right,
nobody
now
got
office.
Prosecuted for it.
I know too from our office, and
well,
they.
This was in the context of she ran against her predecessor. She defeated, and what her campaign promise was that she was not going to sleep with people in the office or waste and abuse taxpayers' money as she accused her predecessor of doing. I mean, Courtney, if I got that right,
she initially paid Wade with money confiscated from funds they've taken over from people, which as a libertarian, I got a problem with that. But she had a slush fund of money she paid him with initially until she got it approved to pay him, I think, straight up. But it's a lot of shenanigans, Mr. Ewer. You have to admit it. It doesn't look good.
Y'all come up with all kind of BS that has nothing to do with what her case was about. Her case was about somebody trying to overthrow a legitimate election in a state.
Oh, me. All right. Courtney, what? Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue the semantics of whether the election was legitimate or not. Obviously, I'm on a different side of that from working on the case.
Do you believe the election was legitimate? Let's start there. Do you believe the election, either in Georgia or nationally, was legitimate? That Joe Biden is the legitimate president of the United States of America?
I think that in Georgia, because that's where I worked heavily on, I think that there was, based on our election code, there was, our statute is there fraud, misconduct, or irregularities enough to place the results of the election in doubt? And if that has occurred, not all three, just one of those things, then the result is a new election. And there was a plethora of over hundreds of affidavits, hundreds of data analytics that were run on the results that placed the election in doubt. And that is what I did, and that is what I know from my side. So that is that's what occurred. And President Trump and, at the time, our Georgia GOP chairman, David Schaefer, filed an election petition, and that's what our remedy is in Georgia. But I do want to get to what the question was that, fast forward, now Fani has indicted President Trump and 19 other co-defendants on this matter, and she asked for more money. Originally, she asked for more money to hire more ADAs, assistant district attorneys, to help with the backlog, basically, that occurred from COVID. And so she got it approved by the Board of Commissioners here in Fulton County. Instead of hiring 50, I think, or so ADAs, she ended up hiring her boyfriend to be a quote-unquote special prosecutor for this case, and paid him an hourly rate of like $250 or something like that, and ended up, the last 2 years or so, ended up paying him over $700,000.
Was he her boyfriend at the time she hired him? Because I think that is an issue that was definitely.
It's clearly yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. That was what that when they both testified as witnesses in the hearing, and back in February, that's kind of what came out in that hearing.
They dated for 2 years and basically didn't sleep together until like the week after she hired him. So they're dating, 250-year-old people are dating for 2 years, met at a conference, been for 2 years, and they're under oath is they didn't sleep together until after she hired him.
What's that got to do with the case she's prosecuting? Integrity? Her personal life is her personal life.
Well, so the problem is that, and this is what the defense brought. This is what Michael Roman's attorney, Ashley Merchant, brought to Judge McAfee, was that there is a conflict of interest here. And because she was also financially benefiting from hiring Nathan Wade, that is what has been at issue. And that's actually what is going up or is in front of the Court of Appeals right now in Georgia, was that because she hired her boyfriend, she also then financially benefited from hiring her boyfriend and paying him the amount of money that she paid him.
Okay. And, but the trial judge heard all this evidence and made a ruling, did not disqualify her, said that Mr. Wade needs to step away, but did not disqualify Ms. Yeah. Willis. That is now on appeal. I take it you did not agree with the trial judge's opinion. Is that correct?
I can't say whether I agree or disagree with Judge McAfee, just from a pure standpoint of I am a candidate for district attorney, so I don't really want to comment on his ruling in this case. If I ended up getting this case in front of me, I would recuse myself. I will make that. I've said that before, but I would recuse myself from this case. Because I have a conflict of interest with this case. And I think that when you are, a very public figure, like a district attorney of the largest county in Georgia, and, one of your swing states, and from the 2020 election, when there is a conflict of interest, in my opinion, you should recuse yourself. And that's what I would do in this matter. But like I said, I'm not going to make a comment on what Judge McAfee did or didn't do, or was it right or was it wrong? But what I do know is that it is in front of the Court of Appeals right now, and they will get to rule on it. And their ruling is a higher ruling than what Judge McAfee is. He's a superior court judge. So in the next, 2 weeks or so, I think we're going to see what the Court of Appeals is going to do, whether they are going to disqualify her or not. But in the meantime, there's the case is still going on, right? There's still motions being heard, arguments being had. And the issue overall with this is that there has been so much public attention on this matter. There's been so many resources and taxpayer dollars that are going towards funding this trial, that in Fulton County, you still have criminals walking the streets. We have 4,000 untested rape kits in Fulton County right now. The money that she used to pay her boyfriend, she didn't have to pay Nathan Wade $250 an hour. She could have paid him $100 an hour and paid him overall half of what she's paid him thus far. And she could have used that money to go get these 4,000 untested rape kits tested. So those 4,000 people are just out walking the streets right now. We have roughly, I think, 14, and it was in one of these motions from the defense counsel, that 14,000 unindicted felony cases right now in Fulton County. That is absurd. That is just, it's disgusting to know that you live, you wake up every morning in a county where you have criminals walking the streets that don't have to be in the streets. Then you have inmates in our jail that are dying because cases aren't moving forward in the actual courthouse because she's focusing her efforts on, two highly public cases and not pushing other matters through the court and trying to find or seek justice for these victims or for those who are wrongly in jail.
Both could be done.
So
all right, hang on, folks. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Courtney, we're going to take a short break here, and I hope you'll stay with us. We'll come back on the other side.
Absolutely.
For 60 years, people all over Middle Tennessee have returned to Parks Motor Sales again and again because they get the best vehicles and best service possible. Go to ParksMotorSales.com for options. New Buicks, pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, financing, certified technicians, parts, tires, and more. Then stop by 919 Nashville Highway, test drive a Buick, and see why the Buick Encore and Buick Enclave are among America's most reliable vehicles. Experience the new Buick at Parks Motor Sales.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at GarbageManInc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Attention, Middle Tennessee. Ready to unlock the secret to faster, easier weight loss? Introducing the revolutionary weight loss injection that's changing lives. Now at the Dr. Gill Center. Shedding those extra pounds has never been simpler. It's quick, it's effective, and it's here to help you. Imagine stepping into a slimmer, healthier you. Our experienced team is here to guide you every step of the way, ensuring you achieve your weight loss goal. The Dr. Gill Center is looking for 10 people who have more than 15 pounds to lose in the next 30 days. Call 615-882-4838 today and start your journey to a new you.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I'm going to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
With a view, rainy Monday, eclipse day. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
And Delk, as soon as you say that, the sun has come out on West 7th Street.
Oh, wow. All right.
Good morning.
He speaks.
Dude number one, Mr. Jimmy Orr. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. It's sun shining over here.
All right. So we get the sun out so we can eclipse it. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Native son, favorite son of Columbia, 77 graduate of Columbia Central High School, Ron Hart. Good morning.
You're muted, Ron. You're muted.
Yeah.
Good
morning.
He's got his dog with him.
Yep, we got you now. And Mike Roden, 25 years, my colleague at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Nashville. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. We have a special guest with us today, Courtney Kramer. She is running against Fannie F. Willis, who is running, who is the incumbent district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia. That's Atlanta. She is the one who's indicted Trump and associates on attempting to do something with the election and petitioning for redress of their grievances with regard to the Georgia election in 2020. Courtney, good morning. Courtney, you still there?
Good. I'm here. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question.
Okay, I got a Democrat who's got a question for you.
Now, Delk and I were federal prosecutors, both of us did time on the civil and the criminal side, so we know what it's like to prosecute crime on the federal level. And I know that there are priorities. You have to have you can't do everything in a DA's office or a U.S. attorney's office. You have to set some standards and priorities. And before we took the break, you were talking about how, you know, the crimes in Atlanta, Fulton County, that were not being prosecuted. And so my question is, do you, as DA, do you believe that Ms. Willis is being remiss in her duties in focusing on the Trump case, and we'll call it the Trump case, as opposed to the other duties? Can you do both? Could you do both? And what would you do? What would be your priorities as DA?
So I think it's a great question. I believe that she is, you know, she's falling short of her duties as DA. And the issue is that, you know, you're not supposed to use it. So, like I said, I just have a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans do have a different opinion on whether she should or shouldn't have indicted President Trump. And from the perspective that I have and just the information that I know from being here, it appears, and based on the information that has come out, that she, you know, used this case to try to kind of climb the political totem pole, per se, and use indicting President Trump as a political pulpit for herself. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe in using the legal system or weaponizing the legal system for political gain. And based on, like I said, based on the information that has come out, based on where the money that her office has spent and what they have spent their money on, that's exactly what it appears to be that she's doing with this case. Well, so I don't think that she should be, you know, should be doing that at all. And if she isn't, then there's got to be, you know, more of an explanation on what's going on. You know, Jim Jordan has, you know, he's asked her where, you know, some of the federal dollars are going in her office, and she can't answer that. I just think that there is not a, despite what she ran on originally, you know, there needs to be integrity in that office. There needs to be transparency in that office, and there needs to be accountability in that office.
Correct me if I'm
wrong. And that should be in every DA's office.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't there already been two guilty pleas in that case so far?
There's been four
pleas in that case, but I believe all of them were first offender status. But here's the problem: is that those people can't afford lawyers to keep going in this matter. This case is going to go on for we have no idea how long. It is expensive to hire a defense attorney to do that. And what they pled to was much, much lower than the charges they were originally charged with. So that's also a telltale sign. If she really was trying to indict, everybody under the RICO Act, then I think that she wouldn't have allowed them to plead to a much lower, than the RICO at all.
Prosecutors often cast a wide net and perhaps charge things a little overboard and charge more indictees in order to get to the bigger fish. That's standard practice.
on these pleas is they offer them a deal, keep your legal license, it's all over, get a month, and you know, probate, and it's very minor. If you look at what they pled to, very minor. Then they can ballyhoo that they got you know, the people to cop to please, and they've done a great job. If you look at the actual what they did, you and I probably would have done the same thing. We got caught up in this. You keep your legal license, you get it over with, you slap.
I would not have attempted to overthrow the election.
Sorry?
I would not have attempted to overthrow the election.
I know. You're better than everybody else. I know that. But he just called
me. No,
down.
He's not better. I'm in that category too, Ryan. Nobody.
You wouldn't have done it.
So
when Al Gore went down to South Florida and held up the election for 2 months, that was okay?
That was because of a
because he's a Democrat, yes.
Counting electoral ballots.
All right, so that was okay.
There have certainly been cases in which Democrats have objected to elections. But they have done so in the proper way with proper challenges. They have not tried to have a fake elector scheme. They have not had this coordinated effort to try to steal votes.
Well, that's not yet proven either. I don't think fake elector scheme.
Courtney, it ain't over.
There was a fake Russian
hoax. We've got a guest on here. Courtney, still there?
Oh yeah, sorry. I'm entertained listening to you guys.
Yeah, according to that, you might not know this. I mean, I have Democrats, progressives on this show because I think it's right to have all points of view represented. However, you're talking to a deep red audience here. I mean, deep red, and 80% of the people who are listening right now think that Fannie Willis is a rogue prosecutor, that she's out of control, that she's corrupt, that she steals money, that she employs her boyfriend, takes lavish vacations, that she has
indicted Trump just for political ambition. And so you are truly preaching to the converted here in the audience.
You should come here and run.
Yeah, the audience for WKOM, just know that. Tell me more. There's a clip on your X feed of Fannie Willis. Mm-hmm. What's that? There's a clip on your X feed, Courtney, of Fannie Willis in the election, the prior election, where she was elected to DA of Fulton County, where she's criticizing her predecessor, the incumbent against whom she was running at that time. And she points out that there's a clip of Fannie Willis saying, you know, I will not sleep with my employees or, you know, take public money like my predecessor has been doing if I'm elected. Tell us about that.
So when she was running against the former DA, Paul Howard, was, of course, criticized and under investigation for doing, you know, basically the exact same thing that Fannie Willis is doing right now. And so when she was running her her election, she said that she wasn't going to, you know, accept funds that were not, I guess, like lawfully obtained. But there's, when you take an oath, you're only allowed to really accept the funds that are, you know, allocated to you as district attorney, you know, not necessarily funds that you give to your significant other and then reap the benefits of that, and that she wasn't going to sleep with people in her office. And so I just, you know, maybe she's, you know, not doing that with the people who are, you know, on staff there, but she's 100% doing with people who are contractors there. And it's just ironic that the very thing that she ran on, like you said, is the exact thing that she is under a microscope for doing now. And that does not gain the public trust in that office. It doesn't gain public trust in the fact, you know, or doesn't gain public trust in having your lead prosecutor, your lead advocate for victims in your county, that she's doing her job. And that's, you know, one of the really important things about this race is that she's made a mockery of this DA's office. Whether, you know, you think it's, whether you don't believe in the YSL case, the big gang case, or the Trump case, what's coming out and how she's acting, even on the witness stand, is unprofessional. And you are supposed to be, you know, you are supposed to zealously, and I said this on my ex feed as well, you're supposed to zealously advocate for your client. And here, your clients are every voter in Fulton County, even those who can't vote, because every citizen, every person who lives in this county, you are supposed to zealously advocate for your client as a lawyer. And she's not zealously advocating for her clients at all. She's zealously advocating for herself. And that is what we keep seeing. I think that, you know, she could have done other things with the money that she was allocated from by the Board of Commissioners. I think that you have a big staff in Fulton County. You have a big budget. I think she's able to get through this backlog, to do all these things. But the problem is that's not happening. And I think that there really needs to be, like I said, you really have to restore integrity back into this office, which is, you know, which is what she ran on. And it's what her website says for, you know, her DA's website says that integrity, inclusiveness, and something else. But, you know, there's no integrity in that office right now. There just isn't. It's the laughing stock of the world. I mean, I'm getting phone calls from BBC, you know, across the pond to do interviews with them. This race is so widely scrutinized and widely looked at, and it should never be that way. I don't really think that people knew what DAs were, you know, the average American doesn't really know what their DA does or doesn't do. But everyone in Fulton County and everyone in Georgia and now the country knows exactly what our DA does and doesn't do. And that's just, you know, you're supposed to sit there, you're supposed to prosecute criminals, you're supposed to fight crime, you're supposed to make our community safe, and that it just isn't happening. And I've said it before, but when you are an elected official, it's a privilege to be an elected official. And when you abuse a privilege, just like with anything else in life, it's at risk of being taken away. And so I just was not going to let her go, her run unopposed in this race with everything that I'm seeing. And people in Fulton County deserve a voice, and they deserve a choice in this next election. And so that's why I'm running. And so, like I said, I don't want to make it about the politics of it at all. It's purely about the facts and what's actually happening in Fulton County.
Courtney, we're going to take another short break. And if you can, please stay with us. We'll get you on the other side for our last segment.
Thank you, guys.
This is Barry Duke, and you're listening to 101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hiller Smile and Save sales event is here. This month, get $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration with descaler, and select new whole home generators. Or take advantage of Heller's $99 AC tune-up or $99 drain cleaning special. When your home needs plumbing, HVAC, or electrical service, call the Happy Face Truck. Smile and save at happyhiller.com today.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
Hey Tennessee, did you know that in the year 2022, more than 3,800 of your residents have lost their lives due to opioid overdose? Do your part to help lower these numbers by counting your medicine, locking it away, and disposing of it at a local medicine drop box location. You could also stop by your local health department and pick up a free medicine log box. This project is funded under a grant contract with the State of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Flight 777 to Funtown with continued service to Wintersville is ready to board. Please make sure you have your new instant game tickets from the Tennessee Lottery in hand, and thank you for choosing game-changing fun.
With chances to win up to $500,000, you'll be flying first class to cash prizes with our new instant games. Hurry to your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer to get on board today. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly. Pick a number between 0 and 9. That's right. Now pick another one. Right again. Now pick one more. Wow, you're on a roll. Now, if you only would have played them. Play your lucky numbers today with 3 daily drawings and top prizes of $500 to $5,000. And add Wild Ball for more winning combos. Cash 3 and Cash 4, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, moolah-making fun. Please play responsibly.
Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing.
Folks, we are back. Three Dudes with a View. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
I might ought to let everybody know that Courtney Kramer, candidate for Republican candidate for Fulton County District Attorney this fall, running against Fonnie Willis, who's the district attorney down there, who, whatever, she's certainly become notorious. And I'll just leave it at that. But Courtney has had to go on, and she's not with us. She does have, of course, it's Courtney Kramer, and that's K-R-A-M-E-R. So if you want to know more about her or support her, go look for her website or her Facebook page or what have you. Dude number one, Mr. Jimmy York.
Good morning, Delk. Good morning, everybody.
All right, regular special guest dude here, native son, favorite son of Columbia, Ron Hart. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And my colleague for many years in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Nashville, who shares Mr. York's point of view, Mike Roden. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. You say that with a chuckle, which I find amusing, but that's okay.
Well, I didn't mean it in any derisive
I'm
way.
I'm kidding you.
At all. Sometimes you and Mr. York are a little, you're the same.
It's hard being sensible, Dilk. It's hard being the sensible ones.
Here we go. Miss York, before Courtney left,
you. Is Miss Prima still there?
No, she had to go, Miss York. No.
I wanted to ask her one question that was burning before. She made a comment about Miss Willis's actions in court on the witness stand. And I would love to know if people made salacious stories up on her. Would she hide in the corner, or would she vigorously defend herself like Miss Willis did?
Ron, you want to take this?
I agree. And I think people's opinion of Miss Willis is colored by however they feel about the Trump case. So it's hard to separate that. But I think, regardless of what you think about her ethics or whether she was in a relationship that she shouldn't have been in and when it started and all of that, I thought she handled herself very well on the stand. Oh. And I thought I know you disagree, and that's fine. But I thought she
cross-examiner's dream.
I thought she came across very well. She stood up for herself. And she didn't take no guff.
I
admired that.
Hang on right here, though. What was made up, Mr. York? What was made up?
Well, they didn't produce any evidence on she took money.
Yeah.
They didn't produce any evidence.
No one said she took money.
In the trial, she took money.
She took money, Mr. York. You're making that up. It's another lie. You're telling a lie.
I'm not making it up. I'm saying
she took money.
Well, you all said that she had, Ms. Kramer said she had misspent funds and all that stuff.
Hire a lover, a guy who's a slip and fall lawyer from Cobb County who'd never tried a felony case. You hired a slip and fall lawyer and from Cobb County who you're sleeping with to handle the biggest case in Fulton County history? Are you kidding me?
So she's sleeping with him. So what?
What does that have to do with somebody trying to change
the result of an election illegally? What does that have to do with
it? We don't know that yet. That's the accusation. He made a phone call to Raffensperger saying,
"Hey,
I'm
darn serious allegations.
We got all kind of evidence, and we got people saying, I'm guilty of being part of that. I'm guilty of being part of that. Don't sentence me to 20 years.
Ms. York, you just changed the subject. What was made up?
Yeah, it was made up.
All the crap that they come up like it was illegal. She can have a relationship with whoever she wants to have. That's a personal business.
It says illegal. It says unethical.
Why is it unethical? It happens all across America every day.
If you get a $100 million government contract, you hire your daughter who has no experience in the space or Hunter Biden at Burisma, Ukraine, you got to wonder what the motivation is.
So Trump hired his daughter and his son-in-law.
Yeah, I wouldn't go down that road if I were you, given Jared and Ivanka's dealings. But there were dealings. Oh, no.
let's don't change the subject. What Fannie Willis did was paid $750,000 to her boyfriend to be the lead prosecutor in the Trump case, and he was absolutely and utterly unqualified. So the only reason the money was being paid is because he was the boyfriend.
What did she pay to other prosecutors? That's a good question.
She's got a $36 million budget. That would probably hire $360,000 a year prosecutors. They don't make a lot down there. Most of them are right out of law school.
Okay, but all that has now been put out in evidence. The judge has made a ruling. It is on appeal. But I think for the time being, the judge is ruling that, Mr. Drawing a blank on his name.
Judge Eastman, Mr. Wade needs to step aside.
Ms. Willis is not recused. And that's the ruling as of now. It's on appeal. My assumption is it's probably going to be affirmed.
For a second, they both lied on the stand, presumably. Why did he let him go and not her? I mean, how do you split the baby that way?
Well, the judge apparently found her credible, or at least credible as to those points.
He's scared to death of her because he has cases all day in front of the DA's office. He's a little bit conflicted, too.
And Judge Eastman.
He let cameras in there. This is his Judge Ito moment here. He let cameras in the courtroom.
Okay, so now we're attacking the judge.
County or DeKalb County. He don't want to lose his case.
I'm not attacking the judge, but I want to circle back, though. Ms. York, what was made up? You know, she squandered public funds and used them for her own benefit.
There's no proof she squandered public funds.
Yes, there is. She paid $750,000.
Just because she hired somebody doesn't mean she squandered public funds.
He was hired. He is absolutely unqualified to do the job and was hired for no other visible reason other than he was her boyfriend. Now, that's squandering public funds.
Okay, a ruling has been made on this. It's on appeal. Let's see what the appeal court says. My assumption is it's probably going to be affirmed.
You know, Mike, whether or not the disqualification motion is good or not has nothing to do with whether or not she is an ethical DA, whether she's qualified for the office.
Well, that comes down to, well, and the voters of Fulton County will decide
whether she's abused.
I thought Ms. Kramer did a very good job stating her case, and the voters of Fulton County will make a decision. My guess is she's probably not going to win because it is a heavily Democratic county, but I think as we were talking offline, I think it'll probably be a very close race or closer than a normal DA election would be in Fulton County because of all the publicity. But I think Ms. Wilson's voters of Fulton County admire
the better thief, and so she'll be reelected. So that's the other thing you should realize
in Georgia is a weird deal. You got Fulton County, which is heavily Democrat, heavily corrupt, heavily doing their own thing, right?
Okay, you say Democrat and corrupt as if they're the same thing.
They usually are.
Especially, really?
Especially in big cities. Point to a big city where it's not. So they appeal to the state level, which is highly Republican.
There's no corruption in the Republican Party, right?
Appeal to the Republican House or Senate in the state or the, which is heavily Republican. Republican governors since Zell Miller has been a Republican governor. Even Zell Miller could argue was a Republican.
Zell Miller was not much of a Democrat.
That's what I'm saying. So it's going to be appealed to the state level. You guys will claim foul if they do anything to her. You'll call it racist. You'll call it this. You'll call it that. So there's a weird dynamic in that state. It's not all blue states. There's really kind of a Republican at the state level and very Democrat at the Atlanta level.
Ron, you remember when we were growing up, people would go to Atlanta all the time. Families would go to Atlanta. They'd go down there and go out to eat, to go shopping, see a Braves game.
Six Flags.
Go to Six Flags. None of that happens anymore.
Weren't you down there, Clayton? Was there a shooting down there at Six Flags?
There was one shortly after we left. I'll never go back to Six Flags Atlanta ever again.
It's gang infested. They drop the kids off there, and it's a mess.
That's what we noticed when we got there, is they literally, people were just dropping kids off and just leaving them unattended for the whole day.
But there's no question that cities have crime because there's more people. More people,
well,
more crime.
Well, no, Atlanta has regressed, and
Atlanta's a fine city. I like going to Atlanta.
It used to be that, you know, there were certain neighborhoods in Atlanta where it was unsafe, but now the whole city's unsafe now.
Atlanta has 21% decrease in crime.
Well, crime is determined,
Ron, not like you talking about prosecuting. Crime is determined by when it's reported.
How many times you turn it in? For example, my car got broken into four times. Busted the window about four times in 3 years. The cop came out first time. I filled out a report. They did nothing. I did a stand-up routine at the comedy club. We had the guy on video breaking in my car, and then he stole my checks, wrote a check to himself the next day in his name. So his name on my check, had video breaking in my car. Police did nothing. So my next three break-ins, I didn't fill out a police report because I'm not going to do anything. Does that mean crime's down? No, people stopped on that report.
Well, you should have reported it.
Let people give up. You wait an hour and a half, 3 hours for a cop. They're not going to do anything. They're going to write it down, go through the motions. They're not going to do anything.
Cops don't show up for every little thing anymore. What? They don't show up for fender benders anymore.
Yeah, but
that's a good thing, Mr. York.
They don't show up for fender benders in big cities.
Well, I get that. You just pull the side out of the way and figure it out with the insurance company. That's more civil than anything else and criminal. But I kind of agree with that. They only have so much they can do. Let's start with robbery. Let's start with rape. Let's start with murder, okay?
4,000 rape kits. Right? Untested.
Well, I wonder when she started caring about the rape victims. You know, how many years has she been in the wheels, in the boat, paddling the canoe to try to save those, get those up front?
She is young, so I don't know how long she's been in a canoe.
Probably just started. That was just another issue.
Probably just got a canoe. Probably maybe more like a, you know, kayak.
You know, when Ron and I were young, going into Atlanta was exciting. Now it's just scary.
That was 40 years ago, Dale.
I like Atlanta.
You don't hardly want to drive to Nashville.
Well,
I remember riding the MARTA system several times.
We used to ride it to the Braves game. I wouldn't do that anymore for the...
Well, the Braves have moved their stadium to the north side of town.
They said they're out of here.
You don't understand. When you defend this type of thing and then crime goes up, it just ruins the city. Just look at all the city.
What are we defending? There's been no, you know, you're
defending use of resources for a political prosecution. There's no victim.
If somebody
no victim, the United States of America is the victim. Voters are the 81 million people who voted for Joe Biden are the victim.
Yeah, 81 million.
Have a great day.